Mitch and I is going to tell you about a present to start off this morning, and I have a picture of it on the screen. Actually, it has snowman wrapping paper on it, but it's about the size of this present here. And let me tell you the story from a couple of years ago. There was a five-year-old gal. Here's her picture up here. I didn't show her face, but you can see the back of her head. Her name is Lexi. And 2 years ago for Thanksgiving, Lexi and her parents left North Carolina, Cary, North Carolina, got on the road and headed for Indiana to visit parents or grandparents up in Indiana. So they arrived in Indiana, had a great Thanksgiving, ate turkey dinner, things were great. And then it was time to go home. Their car was all packed up, and Grandma and Grandpa said, "Well, we have presents for you for Christmas." And they said, "We don't have room to fit them in the car." And so they took a big cardboard box. They put all the presents inside the cardboard box, and they strapped it on top of their car and headed off for the 11-hour trip back to North Carolina. 3 hours out on the highway, as they were driving along, whizzing at 70 miles an hour, a car came up behind them and started flashing its lights. Pulled up on the side of them and honked its horn a couple of times and pointed to the top of their car. They said, "Something must be the matter." And so Lexi's mom and dad, they pulled the car off to the side of the interstate, and they looked up on top of their car, and that cardboard box had split, and they pulled down the box, and they realized that Lexi's present had fallen out somewhere in the last 3 hours along the interstate. Well, it was Thanksgiving weekend. Cars were whizzing along at 70 miles an hour. They'd been driving 200 miles. And so they said, "Lexi," they said, "we'll just have to let Grandma and Grandpa know, and maybe they can buy you another one. But that present's gone." And they headed on home to Cary, North Carolina. Well, that same day, there was a fellow by the name of George Haskett, and he was driving with his wife down that interstate. And as they were driving down the interstate, whizzing by, he looked off in the median, and he looked at his wife and said, "That looked like a present out there in the median." And so he went to the next exit, and he pulled off, he turned the car around, came back, and he stopped on the side of the road over here. He got out of his car, waited till traffic died down, made it across to the center median. He climbed over that little wire, you know, they put down the center median of highways, and he picked up this present with snowman paper on it. And it had a little tag on it. It said, "To Lexi, from Grandma and Grandpa." That's all it said. Well, he was a grandpa himself, and George said, "You know, I've got to find Lexi and get her present to her." So he went home, and he put it up on Facebook and on Instagram, and he took a picture of the present, and he put it out there, and he said, "If anybody knows Lexi, I have her present." Well, pretty soon the news picked it up, and it was on the 6 o'clock news, and it got on Facebook everywhere. 8 hours away in North Carolina, Lexi's mom saw it on Facebook. She said, "That looks like Lexi's present." And she got in touch with George, and sure enough, George told her what was inside the box. I mean, she told George what was inside the box, and he checked it out. He said, "That's it," and sent it to her, and here's Lexi. And she got her present that year. I thought about that, and I thought, you know, it'd be sad to lose a present. But we want to talk this morning about a present, a gift that God gives to us. For you see, over in the book of Romans, chapter 6, it says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of God to us is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says if you or I have acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God and confessed Him as our Lord and asked Him to forgive us, that we've been born again and we've received the gift of eternal life. But it says more than that. It says that's a gift that we can't lose. That once you have eternal life, you can't lose it. That's why Jesus at the Feast of Hanukkah, He said, "My sheep hear My voice and they know My name, they follow Me." And He says, "No one can snatch them out of My hands." And He says, "I and the Father are one, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hands because I'm in the Father's hands." And so He says, "No one can snatch them out of My hands." And so we want to look at the gift that you can't lose this morning, that Jesus talked about at Hanukkah. Now, I say this is the only time that Hanukkah is spoken about in the Bible. You never read about the Hanukkah feast in the Old Testament. And there's a good reason for that. It's because the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, was written about 435 years before Jesus, and the Feast of Hanukkah didn't come into being until about 170 years before Jesus. In fact, the Feast of Hanukkah started because Syria was in charge of the nation of Israel. And the Jewish people rebelled against Syria and won their independence in 167 B.C. And when they won their independence, they went to the temple. And as they went to the temple, they said, we have to clear it out and we have to dedicate this temple back to God again. They'd been using it to worship Syrian gods. And so they went into the temple, they cleansed the temple, and they rededicated it. But they said, we have to light the menorah candle. But there was a problem. See, for the menorah candle in the temple, you have to have a special oil, a special olive oil that's been ritually purified. And it takes 8 days to make that olive oil. But they only had 1 day's supply. So the priest said, I'll just put my 1 day's supply in. And he poured that 1 day worth of oil into the menorah in the temple. And he lit the candles. And the story goes that the candles stayed lit for 8 days until the new oil was ready, that they never went out. And that's why on Hanukkah they celebrate it for 8 days. It's an 8-day celebration because the oil lasted for 8 days in the menorah in the temple. And so for Hanukkah they'll light one candle a day for 8 days until they're all lit. And so Jesus was at the Feast of Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication, and he spoke to them. And he said, if you're my sheep, you're in my hands, and you can never be lost. And some people, I know, some people say, well, wait a minute, I know somebody who used to be a believer. They used to go to church. They used to say they followed God, and now they don't anymore. What about those people? Watch. Here's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. He says, on that day, on the day of judgment, he says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, don't we prophesy in your name? And we drive out demons in your name. We've done many miracles in your name. And I will announce to them, watch this, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. See, he didn't say, I used to know you and I don't know you anymore. No, he said, I never knew you to start with. See, there are some who claim the name, but they're never really a believer. In fact, John talks about that himself over in 1 John 2. He says, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out that it might be clear that none of them belonged to us. See, John said there were some, they were never really believers to start with. So they didn't lose it. They just didn't have it to begin with. But then you say, well, wait a minute. Is that everybody? Well, watch what Paul said as well. Paul said there are some who are believers and they get away, but they have nothing to show for it. He said, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as through fire. See, Paul said there are some, and they're true believers. They followed God. They've asked Jesus to forgive them. They've been born again. But then they strayed a long way away from God. Says, in fact, their whole life they didn't do a single thing worth noting for God. And he says, they'll be saved, but I like to say they'll be saved but singed. You know, they'll be saved but as through fire. Won't have anything to show for this life, but they'll be saved when they get to heaven. And you know, I'm not one to judge. I don't know whether somebody was never a believer to start with or whether they are a believer and they've just wandered off. It's kind of like the prodigal son. He wandered away, but he still had the relationship, but he lost the fellowship with his father. I'm not sure which of those, but here's what I do know. I do know that when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Lord, to forgive you, that you receive a gift of salvation. It says in Romans, the gift of God is eternal life. And I know once you receive that gift, you can never lose it. Let me just give you five reasons. We'll start with John chapter 10. Reason number one, it says God gave them eternal life. And in John chapter 1, or rather John chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now notice what he says. He says, I give them eternal life. Eternal life. It says they shall never perish. Now how long is eternal life? If I tell you I have eternal life and it's going to last for 50 years, is that eternal? It says no. What if I tell you I have eternal life and it's lasting for 100 years? Is that eternal? It says no, because eventually I perish. But he says, I give them eternal life. In fact, in John 5:24, he says, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but is already passed from death into life. See, so watch. I won't receive eternal life one day when I die. I receive it when I receive Jesus Christ into my life. I already have eternal life. I can't lose because I already have it. I'm not going to get it one day. And I like this to it. It says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. This is the King James Version, or the New King James. I like the Christian Standard Version. Listen to how it reads. Puts in an extra word on there. It says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. Ever. And I like that because in the original Greek, it says, they shall never perish, 4 words. But then it adds 3 more words. It says, they shall never perish to the end. To the end. That's why the Christian Standard adds that word ever, literally to the end. It says, I'll never perish to the end of eternity. See, and so I know that I have the gift of eternal life. I can't lose it because it's eternal, and I can't lose that which is eternal, that which I have to the end. Let me give you a second reason, though. It's because God always finishes what he starts. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, have you ever started something in your life and not completed it? You started a project and you never got that project done. You started a book and you never finished the book. You started a, whatever. You know, I started a book, not to read a book, I started to write a book 15 years ago, hadn't finished it yet. I finished the book, it's just, it needs about 1,000 footnotes, and I don't like footnotes, and so I'm just waiting to get all those footnotes written in that book. Some of you English teachers, I just don't like footnotes here, and so, but I'll tell you this. God has never started anything that God didn't finish what he started. God didn't get halfway through and says, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish that up. So the Bible says we're confident that he who begun a good work in you will complete it. And when is the day of Jesus Christ? That's when the day Jesus comes back again. That's how the Bible refers to the second coming. And so it says, if he has started a work of salvation in you, he will complete that work of salvation until Jesus comes back. God promises eternal life. God always finishes what he starts. Let me give you a third reason. God seals you with his Spirit. Watch in Ephesians 1:13. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's you and I. He purchased us with his blood until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. See, watch what he's saying on here. He says, God has given us salvation. And when you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of future salvation. That's God's seal upon you. It says he gave you the Holy Spirit. He sealed you in the Holy Spirit. He put his mark upon you. And he says, as long as you are sealed in the Holy Spirit, that you can't lose the promise of God. That's the guarantee that he'll keep you to the end. In fact, I put a picture up here. You probably don't have a clue what that is a picture of up there because I darkened it up. But that is a life-size replica of Noah's Ark. Somebody got it here. A life-size. Now, this is over in the Netherlands. So unless you've been to the Netherlands, you haven't seen this ship. But Peter, when he talks about salvation, he relates it to Noah's Ark. And watch how we do this. Noah built this great boat, put all the animals on it. And then the Bible says Noah got on the boat and God shut the door behind him. Now, God shut the door to seal the water out, but he also shut the door to seal Noah in. And once Noah got on that boat and the storm started, and Peter talks about it, the storms came and that boat went up and down and it rocked side to side. And I'll wager you there were a lot of times when Noah fell down in the ark. But he never fell out of the ark. See, he fell down in the ark, but he didn't fall out of the ark. And Peter says, we are in Christ. We're in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us, but the Holy Spirit is in me, but I am in Christ. And I may fall down in Christ, but I don't fall out of Christ. God didn't say, now Noah, build a boat, get a hammer, and drive a peg in the side of that boat. And then you grab a hold of that peg and you hold on and don't let go until the storm's over. See, that's not how it happened. See, it's not you have to hold on to Jesus through the storm. See, he says we're in Christ. And as long as I'm in Christ and the Holy Spirit's in me, I'm safe on that. Let me give you a fourth reason. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Here's what it says in Hebrews. It says the reason we're saved forever is because Jesus is praying forever for us. In fact, that's the same word on there twice in that verb. That word forever, he's able to save forever because he's praying forever. See what he's saying? He says you're saved as long as Jesus is praying for you. When he quits praying, you're in trouble. But he prays forever. And has Jesus ever prayed a prayer that God didn't answer? Remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead? We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. And before he raised him from the dead, he said, Father, I'm praying you'll raise Lazarus because I know you always hear my prayers. You always hear my prayer. See, we're saved forever because Jesus is praying forever for us. Now you may say, but wait a minute. If I choose to be a follower of Jesus, can't I choose to not be a follower of Jesus later? If I chose that way, can I choose this way? Let me give you one last reason. It's because ultimately you're not a follower because you chose him. You're a follower because he chose you. In fact, listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 1. It says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us for adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, when I accepted Jesus, that was my choice. But somehow, and I can't explain how it all works, but God chose me before I chose him. See, and I'll lose my salvation not when I choose not to be a follower of his, but when he chooses not to have me as a follower. It's God's choice first. And God doesn't change his mind once he chooses something. It says, before I was ever born, before the world ever came into existence, that God chose me. And so I'll always have salvation because of God's choice, not because of mine. Why can I not lose that gift? Because it's eternal. If I could lose it, it wouldn't have been eternal to start with. And so God's given it eternal. God always finishes what he starts. When he starts a work of salvation, he's not going to finish it. The Holy Spirit has sealed me. The Son of God is always praying for me. And the Father chose me before the foundation of the world. And that's why when we have a gift of eternal life, we can't lose the gift. But I told you I was going to start with a gift. And I was going to end with a rocking chair. So let me tell you the story of the rocking chair. It's a story that the rocking chair belonged to my great-grandmother, at least. I don't know where she got the chair from, maybe years before. So my mother is 93 years old. She lives in an assisted living outside of Austin, Texas. And in fact, we don't have church this evening, and so my wife and daughter and I are going up to Austin this evening, and we'll have dinner with my mother this evening. And a while back, my mother asked me if I could take the old rocking chair and see it's a little rickety, and she'd like to see if I can't get it fixed up and made a little more sturdy and do something for the old rocking chair. My mother's only 5'2", and her grandmother never made 5 feet, and so it's just the right size that they would fit into. But here's why that rocking chair is special for my mother. My mother was born in 1925. Her parents had recently been married, her grandparents had given her father a piece of land up north of Austin in what's known as Merrilltown in those days. And so they moved up to Merrilltown, there wasn't any house on the property. So her father took the old barn on the property, and he fixed the barn up where they could live in that old barn. My mother and her parents, they lived in the old barn while her father went to work on building a house next door to it. Well, in 1927, my mother was 2 years old, and she came down with scarlet fever. Scarlet fever isn't big today, but in those days, scarlet fever killed many a child. Fevers would go high, you'd break out in a red rash, bright red all over your body, and thus they called it a scarlet fever, and children often died. They called the doctor, and the doctor came out to that house, the converted barn, and he examined her and looked at her parents, and he said, "You know, winter's coming on. Supposed to be a cold winter this year. So this is still kind of a drafty barn. If she stays out here in this old barn for the winter, I don't think she's going to make it." So they said, "All right." And so they took my mother, just 2 years old, and they took her to her grandparents' house in Austin. And they brought her to the grandparents, and they said, "You know, we can't keep her out on the property in the old barn. Says, could you keep her here in town and look after her while we try finishing the house?" And so they took her to her grandmother's house. And that winter of 1927, it was a cold winter, and as the wind howled outside and the temperatures dropped, her grandfather would throw a few extra logs onto the fire, and her grandmother would take her and hold her in the old rocking chair. And her grandmother would put her in that rocking chair and hold her in her hands. And my mother's earliest memory in life goes back over 90 years. Her very first memory of life was the feel of the warmth of the fire, the creaking and sway of the rocking chair, and the hands of her grandmother holding her through those long winter nights till she recuperated from her scarlet fever. That's why the old rocking chair is so meaningful to her. You know, she survived the scarlet fever, lost most of her hearing that winter. She's red lips more than heard anything for all of her life since then. But the old rocking chair is special to her for that reason. But let me go on a little bit. A few years later, she's 5 years old. She's a intelligent, rambunctious 5-year-old. And it's time to start school. Well, up north in Merrilltown, they just had one old schoolhouse, K-12, and everybody together. And her family wanted her to have a little better school than that. And so they said, "During the school year, we're going to send you to your grandmother and grandfather's house in Austin. And you can go to Woldridge Elementary School, a good school in Austin with separate grades for each class. And you'll learn more there." And so when she was 5, they sent her off to her grandparents again to go to school. But her grandmother had some rules for the house. And this was a rambunctious 5-year-old. And sometimes when she wanted that 5-year-old to behave, her grandmother would look at her and she would say words that my mother still remembers to this day, 91 or 87 years later. She'd look at her and she'd say, "You'd better obey the rules, young lady, or I might take you back to the orphanage and exchange you for another little girl who will obey the rules." Now, her grandmother was saying that in jest. But watch. When you're a 5-year-old girl and you're already feeling a little secure because your parents sent you away to live with somebody else, and your grandmother tells you that, She began to have some doubts in her head. Well, maybe I did come from an orphanage. Maybe I don't belong in this family. And maybe if I don't obey the rules, I'm going to be sent away. And as a young girl, she would just in her back of her head have doubts about that. And so she was conflicted. She'd have a few doubts on that. But on the other hand, she had the security and comfort of the old rocking chair. And whenever she had doubts, she could go back to the rocking chair. And she'd rock in that old chair. And it would just bring back that secure, warm feeling of security. Now, I always think of that when I think of this passage. Because there are some believers. They're like that 5-year-old mother of mine. And they have this sense that God has a bunch of rules. And if I don't keep all of God's rules, I may get sent back to the orphanage. I may get kicked out of the family. God may not have me in his house anymore if I don't keep all the rules. And there's just that doubt in the back of the mind that I could lose my place in the house. But Jesus said over in John chapter 10 at that Hanukkah feast, he said, oh no. He said, you belong to me. And you're in my hands, and I'm in the Father's hands, and no one can ever take you out of my hands. See, Jesus says we have the security that we'll always be his child. And that's what I want to leave you with at Christmas time, is the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's a gift that once given, once received, you can never lose. And so when you begin to have some doubts and you wonder, and maybe I'll be sent back to the orphanage, put those doubts away and just think of the old rocking chair and remember, I'm always in the hands of God. I can never lose the gift once I've received the gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. That the gift that you have for us is the gift of eternal life. Father, I thank you that you promise that to as many as received him, to them he gave the gift of eternal life, even to those who believe on his name. And Father, I thank you that each and every individual here this morning who has received that gift, who has said, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your gift of eternal life. Thank you that you died on a cross to take the punishment that I deserve. And I want to receive you into my life, to receive your gift of eternal life. Thank you, I can never lose it. And I commit my life to be your follower. Thank you, you hold me in your hands close to you, and you'll never let me go. Father, I thank you for each and every individual here who's received that gift. Father, I pray for some here this morning and they've not received that gift. Father, I pray that even this morning they would receive it. They would say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gift you offer me of eternal life. I want to receive that gift. Receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not just going to call you Lord, Lord, but I'm going to believe that you are my Lord. Accept you and follow you. Father, I thank you for those who have received him. Father, even this Christmas, even this morning, those who've made that decision. And Father, I pray for some here this morning, they're not an active member of a local church. And Father, we know that coming to church doesn't make a person a Christian. But Father, that those who are Christians, that Father, you say they need to gather together with others to worship and to celebrate and to learn. And Father, I pray for those here this morning who are not active members of a local church. Father, I pray you'd speak to their heart. And if this be the place, you would have them to worship. That Father, they'd either, as we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful in a moment, or Father, they would come and just say, Pastor, I'd like to be a part of this church family. Or Father, they'd fill out that yellow card and say, I'm interested in church membership. But Father, I pray that they'd respond this morning to your call upon their heart. For being a part of a family, a church family, a spiritual family. Father, I pray they'd make that decision this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.